But the thing is that it's a problem. And for those men that completely give themselves over to this, and we've known men like that, all of you have, especially in locker rooms, you'll hear different stories and different things, and it just seems like their only reason for living is to try to figure out how to take advantage of some other girl. And it's just powerfully wrong. And it's just way not of God. And it's something that we have to be loosed from in Jesus' name. And to really consider the thoughts. Because the fruit of the thoughts of the people in Jeremiah 6 led them to destruction. Now this is reiterated and really exemplified really hugely in Genesis 6:5. So let's go there to Genesis 6:5. Let's go there. First book in the Bible. Genesis chapter 6 and verse 5. Genesis chapter 6 and verse 5. It says here, God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth. Now notice what he saw. It says that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. This is when it just gets to the place where God can't help unless they turn to him. The destruction has to come. When everybody is thinking evil thoughts continually, that's all they're imagining, all they're about. They never want to do anything good. They just want to do everything bad. And there's folks like that in our society, as you know. And there isn't a good thought at all there. Now, praise God, I am talking to a bunch of people that have chosen to come to church today. You've chosen to be here. In other words, you had a decent thought. You're not thinking evil continually. But you thought, I'm going to church today. I'm going to hear the word of God, probably be convicted about something, and have to repent. And that's a good thing. It's an excellent thing. It's a noble thing that you've done in the choice you've made. So I want to encourage you with that and give you a gold star for the day. Oh man, we want to stay way clear of allowing our minds to be a cesspool and go to the place where these guys were, that every imagination of the thoughts of their hearts was continually evil. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repents me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And that is the most beautiful thing. Noah, his family, his three sons and their wives, and Noah's wife, they were all saved through a mighty flood that destroyed the earth. So we see in the very beginning how serious God is about the thought life. I want to share with you and recommend that you not see the movie Noah with Russell Crowe, because they actually had in the movie Noah trying to kill his little sweet granddaughter. And why they put that in there, I haven't the foggiest idea. It's not in any histories, it's not in the Bible, and it's just not true. Noah was a wonderful, righteous man that God, by his grace, saved, because we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God, but there is no way he would ever consider killing his granddaughter with a knife. That's craziness. And to put that in the film, I'm beginning to think, man, these guys were evil to create thoughts like that in the minds of the people. And then there were weird relationships with the sons and weirdnesses with the sons. And actually the sons were all happily married and happily together as they were all spared by the grace of God and a wonderful family. You know, I think in some producers' minds in Hollywood, they've never seen a wonderful family. They've never seen a blessed Christian family together at Thanksgiving, singing songs to Jesus and praising the Lord. They just don't understand it. And so they have to work evil into every situation and ruin so many movies that could have been great. And so please don't see that movie. It's just wrong. And so praise God. God spared Noah and his sons and their wives and this deal. Now, the whole point of this is to say we have to deal with our thought life. And we're told in 2 Corinthians 10:5, we are to be bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Now, this is done through faith. It was neat. Pastor Bill and I had a little discussion the other day in my office, and it was really neat that he's teaching Matthew right now and has come to this idea of faith for salvation and faith for good works. They're both faith, for the just shall live by faith. And so it is only really through faith that you can overcome these thoughts in your mind that will be polluting your mind, taking away time in your mind that could be spent on good thoughts. If anything deserves praise, if anything is honorable, think on these things, the scripture says. Don't waste your time with the evil thinking. And so this is done through faith. The victory in this battle, which must be fought, can only be won through faith. Let's turn to Ephesians 6:16. Ephesians chapter 6, and now Ephesians is in the back of the Bible. Galatians is first, then Ephesians, then Philippians, then Colossians. And so back behind Acts and Romans. So we get to Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 16. And it says this, above all, as we have listed here for us, the parts of the armor of God that we're to put on for protection every day. It says, above all, these different parts of armor, we're to take the shield of faith, wherewith we shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Now, the devil wants to put evil thoughts into our minds. And the way I pictured it this time around in studying this, it's like a fire arrow. You know how in ancient times they would light the tip of the arrow on fire and then shoot it. And that if it would hit something that would burn, it would light it on fire. And so this fiery dart is an evil thought, but it's like an arrow with fire on the end. A fiery dart. And the dart comes in, and the purpose is to light your whole soul on fire with this evil thought. And you begin to dwell on how evil Aunt Hilda really is. And you get so stewed up that it's just a horrible, decrepit day that you have. Just judging and condemning and sending to the gallows Aunt Hilda over and over again. I'm really adept at this because I've been there, you know. And I think all of us from time to time will struggle with this kind of thinking. And it's just got to go. It has to be taken captive. It has to be quenched and put out right away. That's an evil thought. I recognize it for what it is. I don't want to spend my time working bad things in my mind about Aunt Hilda, devices, as it said in that one translation, and schemes, like it said in another translation, but put it out, quench it. And it's only by faith that that can happen, because only Jesus Christ has the power to do that. You know, there are things in people's lives that they think sometimes they'll never, ever be able to overcome this. I will never forgive Aunt Hilda. Or statements like, there's something in my life that I know is not of the Lord, but I will never, ever be able to kick this completely. I won't be able to do it. That is believing the lie of the enemy. Because your Jesus, your Savior, is so powerful that He can do anything. There is nothing impossible for God. Is there anything too hard for God? Yeah. There is nothing impossible for the Lord. So by faith in Christ, you say, Lord, take this thing away and just help me to find a new day. And go back to Tom Sawyer's Island as a little child and go to Injun Joe's cave and have a good time. Just get rid of it in the name of Jesus and see the victory that God can have. Did not Jesus Christ say it is God who is at work within you, both to will and to do of His good pleasure? I am confident of this very thing, that He who has begun a good work in you, He will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Faithful is He who called you, who also will do it. Now to Him that will wholly sanctify you, body, soul, and spirit, and preserve you blameless for His coming, faithful is He who called you, who will also do it. Those scriptures are right together in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Now unto Him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before His throne of glory with exceeding joy. You've got to believe these things. You've got to incorporate these things. You have to use the sword of the Spirit and to use the shield of faith to believe that God can do this for you. And you can become free, truly free, from these things that hinder you and hound you and keep you down, that you are not walking freely with Him, but are just messed up and tripping and stumbling blocks and those kinds of things. God can help you. And we're here to say that today. Amen. Amen. Very good. The battle for the mind. We're to be renewed in the spirit of our minds, the Bible says. We are not to be conformed to this world, but transformed by the renewing of our minds. And Jesus Christ has been doing this for years and years and years and years to brothers and sisters that we'll spend eternity with, and He can do it for you. Amen. Glory to God. Let's go back to Jeremiah now. We want to get another thought today. We're in chapter 6, and we just read verse 19. So let's go to verse 20. It says, to what purpose comes there to me incense from Sheba and the sweet cane from a far country? Now, Sheba is Saudi Arabia. And they were into worshiping other gods and burning incense to other gods. And so the Lord is just telling them, your burnt offerings are not acceptable, nor your sacrifices sweet to me. They're actually after other gods from other countries. Therefore, thus says the Lord, behold, I will lay stumbling blocks before this people, and the fathers and the sons together shall fall unto them. The neighbor and his friend shall perish. Thus says the Lord, behold, a people that comes from the north country, and a great nation shall be raised from the sides of the earth. They shall lay hold on the bow and the spear. They are cruel and have no mercy. Their voice roars like the sea, and they ride upon horses set in array as men for war against you, O daughter of Zion. We have heard of the fame thereof. Our hands wax feeble. Anguish has taken hold of us, and pain as a woman in travail. God understands the misery of sin. He understands on how bad it gets and how people just tremble and have anguish in their hearts with the attack of things that will put them in slavery. He says, go not forth into the field, nor walk by the way, for the sword of the enemy and fear is on every side. O daughter of my people. Now I feel in the voice of God right here in verse 26 that his voice kind of softens as he's referring to his people. O daughter of my people, my offspring, daughter of my people, gird you with sackcloth and wallow thyself in ashes or roll in ashes. Sackcloth and ashes represented a sign of repentance, among other things, a humiliation of the people to put on rough clothes. The way I heard it was described one time is backward camel skin is like sackcloth. It's like the prickly stuff on the top of a camel is poking you. And this is an idea of afflicting your flesh kind of thing, and throwing ashes upon yourself, that you're just in this mourning, this emotional outcrying and outpouring before the Lord. Make you mourning, just begin to mourn as for an only son. Most bitter lamentations. Man, this little clause in the Bible jumped right off the scriptures at me when I was studying for this sermon. As for an only son. Most bitter lamentations. In other words, as if they lost their only son. And this is referred to as most bitter lamentations. I'll give you some other translations on this. From the NIV, it says, mourn with bitter wailing for an only son. And then the NIS, New American Standard, says, a lamentation most bitter. That this is one of the most bitter things that you can feel, is losing an only son. Especially in that society. It was so important to have a son. And imagine a woman that waits almost her whole life to have a son. To take what they refer to as a curse off of her life. That's the way it was in that society in those days. It's not today, thank God. We appreciate our little girls, don't we? Papa's little girl. Yeah. But then, not so. But then, to actually lose your only son, your only possibility of passing on the family name. And so the Lord is making a point out of this. He says, I have set you, talking to Jeremiah now, verse 27, for a tower and a fortress among my people, that you may know and try their way. Jeremiah, I just want you to look at this people and examine them and see if I'm not right about them. They are all grievous revolters, walking with slanders. They are brass and iron. They've hardened themselves against me. They are all corruptors. The billows are burned. And now in verses 29 and 30, the Lord uses an example of refining silver and mentions the billows. Just picture yourself back in the days when you watched Bonanza and they ride by the smithy in town and there's a billows there, you know, the thing that makes the flame hotter. The billows are burned. The lead is consumed of the fire. The idea is to get lead out of the pure silver so that the silver is pure. And so they burn it. Lead is consumed of the fire. The founder melts in vain. in this situation, the Lord is saying. For the wicked are not plucked away. Reprobate silver or inferior silver or waste silver shall men call them, because the Lord has rejected them. And so it's a time of judgment coming, because these people were so hardened and so full of lead that it could not be taken care of through the refining process. So it's time for the judgment to come. And it's all about stinking thinking. The fruit of their thoughts is where we started with that. Now, God loves this people so much and loves us so much that as He speaks about the mourning over an only son, which is the most bitter of lamentations, that God the Father was willing to face that Himself when He gave us Jesus Christ to die a gruesome death on the cross for you and I. The Father had to turn His back on His only Son, and He did it for love's sake. He is now, I believe, pointing toward the price that He had to pay to make all of this that we just read right. To actually give these people an opportunity, and all of us an opportunity, to walk away squeaky clean from this kind of living. And probably every one of us have been convicted about something today. But how the Lord Jesus Christ took care of this. And you know, the Lord does this all through the Bible. All through the Bible. He brings up the price. He brings up the sacrifice. He brings up the Lord Jesus Christ to let us see and make us know that He really does see us as a daughter, as a wife, as a tender, delicate woman, as His bride, as His wife. And He brings it up again and again and again. And the mourning for an only son becomes His own mourning, His own feeling of losing His son. And it is something that is most beautiful. The sin is so great, and we're seeing that here in Jeremiah, the sin is so great that it took the most bitter of lamentations to pay for it. To pay for it. And the Father faced for love's sake that price. For God, let's say it together, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes on Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Hallelujah! Praise the Lord. God is so good. All the time. All the time. Amen. Glory to God. You know, it's so good to come to a nugget like this again in the Word of God. And to appreciate every nugget we can get. Jesus began from the Law and the Prophets on the road to Emmaus with two disciples after the resurrection. And He taught them a huge Bible study. That beginning with the Law and the Prophets, He showed them all the places that He was mentioned in the Old Testament. And I just wonder if this is one of them. I just wonder. For an only son, the most bitter of lamentations, paid for by the Father for you and I. What a glorious thing. Well, let's pray together. Let's just go to the Lord in prayer. And Father, we thank You so much, Lord, as You bring nuggets like this up, as we're going faithfully through the Word. We pray, Lord, it is faithful pursuit. And Lord, we trust that to be so. And Father, we pray this day that you again would rescue us, that you again would just cause a sobriety and a vigilance to come upon us, knowing that the devil does go about as a roaring lion seeking whom he might destroy. But you have made a way. You have made the way and the truth and the life through your Son Jesus. And you have allowed the mourning, the most lamentation, the most bitter lamentation to happen, that we might live as you gave up your only Son. And so, Father, we appreciate it so much. And here this day, I felt led to go ahead and lead our sweet congregation here in the Sinner's Prayer. And this is a prayer to accept what God did, to accept the bitter lamentation that He allowed to happen to save us and to open our hearts to Jesus Christ. So I want to lead you in the Sinner's Prayer today and just ask that you would come with a spirit of letting God deal with and deliver you from anything that's in your life that is holding you back, that is keeping you from the richest blessings of being like a child, walking with Jesus, appreciating life as a wonderful, wonderful journey that God has got you on for a good purpose, to work all things together for good in your life. And so, as we say this prayer together, let's get renewed. And if you've never asked Jesus in your life before, do it today. Do it now. Really get into the born again experience by confessing your sin and believing on Him. So let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, I am a sinner and I need your help. Please come into me and forgive me and wash me of all sin. I believe that you are the Lord and that you rose from the dead and you did it all for me. And thank you, Father, for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Yeah. Yeah. Let's give the Lord a hand. Yes. Thank you, Lord. If you've accepted Christ for the first time today, be sure to tell somebody. Because Jesus said, if you confess me before men, I will confess you before my Father and all of His holy angels. And this is a most marvelous thing. Today, we have Robert and Debbie in the prayer room to pray for you. And so if you need prayer for anything, they are so eager to do it. Yeah. They are a team. And so we come on to the prayer room. We do have free Bibles for you if you need a Bible. God bless you richly, thickly, and widely today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Amen.